Again, it's revised down.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles. Hello, welcome to the Morning Open. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The economic recovery, not so perky. And a banking deja vu moment for the president. All that coming up, but first, where's Wall Street? Markets are up right now. The S&P up about a third of a percent. NASDAQ up about half a percent. The Dow higher right now by 36 points at 10,450. European shares between a half a percent and a full percent up right now. And Asian shares closed mostly up today as well. The Nikkei at a three-month high. The nation's gross domestic product was revised lower for the third quarter. Initial estimates were the GDP rose by 3.5%. Today, the number not quite so robust, up 2.2%. Julie Neiman is an analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live this morning from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So the economy wasn't as strong as we were initially told. What's behind these numbers?
It's a cold dose of reality check here. Bottom line is they were looking for much higher business investment, but businesses are still playing it pretty close to the vest. That would have developed in some real good inventory reduction and hopefully more building of inventories here. That's not happening. Factories really aren't powering up just yet because of that caution. And then finally, you've got consumer spending. Sure, it was up, but it was up because prices were higher, not because they were buying more stuff, and it was largely in food and energy. So those revisions are keeping consumer spending and business spending pretty cool at this point.
You know, Julie, how is today's GDP report useful in, predicting economic growth for the fourth quarter and beyond?
Probably the key thing to remember is these statistics are always revised. But economists right now are still saying we're going to see really strong fourth quarter growth. But that's going to be coming from the government stimulus because bottom line is the economy is not on the road to recovery unless you get that really good stimulus. We'd still be in the ditch. So that'll be the key thing to watch.
All right. Julie Neiman joining us from St. Louis. Julie, thanks.
You bet.
A weak economy is one that can't create very many jobs. Of course, the unemployment rate is something that we're all watching. And a handful of states are even starting to run out of money for jobless benefits. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joins us live this morning to explain. Hi, Mitchell.
Good morning, Steve.
So how deep is this hole that states are in right now?
It's about $24 billion, according to the Labor Department. Here's the problem. The basic unemployment compensation program in each state is funded by a tax on employers. Now, 25 states have already run out of money in this recession. Basically, way more people signed up for benefits than they expected. Another 15 states are headed for insolvency. Andrew Stettner of the National Employment Law Project says that unemployed people will still get their checks, though.
So workers are guaranteed their benefits. There's federal loans. But the problem is state taxes are rising to start paying back these debts. That threatens benefit cuts for workers.
So, Mitchell, benefits are okay for now, but not in the future?
Right. They could start to suffer. States ultimately have to reimburse the federal government and refill their funds. That's starting to happen. And states have two choices. They can cut benefits, possibly make fewer people eligible, or raise payroll taxes on businesses. It's a tough choice in this economy.
All right. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reporting live this morning. Mitchell, thanks.
You're welcome.
More bankers are headed to the White House for a meeting with President Obama today. They are executives from a few of America's small and community-sized banks, but the president has the same message for them that he gave to the bigger banks earlier this month. Lend more money to small business, please. Here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer.
The White House wants to create more jobs. Small businesses are normally big job generators, but they say they can't get loans, so they can't hire anyone. Normally, community banks make a lot of those loans, but they say bank regulators are telling them to tighten up their lending standards. Camden Fine heads the Independent Community Bankers of America.
The administration and Congress are saying lend, 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 and the bank examination forces are saying conserve, conserve, conserve.
Fine says the community bankers will tell President Obama to rein in the regulators. Bill Black is an economist at the University of Missouri. He says President Obama can't do that.
Is he going to tell the regulators back off, go back to being the morons that helped to allow this crisis to occur? He can't say those things out loud.
Bank examiners show no signs of letting up. They shut down seven banks just last week. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
We learned today financial services giant State Street will pick up the securities services business of Italian banking group Intesa Sanpaolo. It's a near $2 billion cash deal. to the Marketplace Morning Report for Tuesday, December 22, 2009, at marketplace.org. British regulators have given the go-ahead on a major American entertainment merger. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more on the link-up of a couple of behemoths in the concert business.
Live Nation is the world's biggest producer of live concerts. It stages 22,000 of them a year in 33 countries. Ticketmaster is the biggest ticket agency. Together, the two companies would be a major force in live music. At first, that worried the UK Competition Commission. It feared that Live Nation would funnel all its ticket sales through Ticketmaster, and that would lead to higher prices. But now, on reflection, the Commission has changed its mind. It says the deal will not lessen competition. Quite right, too, says Greg Palmley, editor of IQ magazine.
Any concert promoters are looking to sell their tickets as quickly and as effectively as possible. There are a lot of other ticketing agencies out there, a lot of different ways to sell tickets. For Live Nation to just sell their tickets through Ticketmaster, I don't think that's going to happen at all.
Today's go-ahead means the merger faces no obstacles in Britain, but in the US, the Justice Department has yet to deliver its verdict. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
China's words today, it regrets a decision by the World Trade Organization that sides against China. At issue, Chinese market restrictions against the international media industry. Books, movies, songs, video games. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
The Chinese rules that got struck down restrict Hollywood and other media providers. These industries have had to distribute their products through Chinese state-owned middlemen. With the WTO ruling, Beijing is expected to cut them out, so it'd be good for Hollywood. But Wilmer Hale attorney Lester Ross in Beijing says it's not the final act. There are other hurdles in China.
China's fundamental controls with respect to censorship and the actual number of films that are imported for theatrical release, those will not change under the WTO decision.
U.S. video game designers are also watching. Shanghai lawyer Greg Pilarowski says the Americans are largely frozen out of China, but that could change depending on the new rules. And China's online game sector is big.
A lot bigger than movies, and it's a lot bigger than music. It's the one that potentially could be the most lucrative to foreign companies.
If Beijing ignores the ruling, the U.S. could impose trade sanctions. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Maybe you're looking for an unusual gift to put under the tree. How about a new house? The National Association of Realtors says home sales were up nearly 7.5% in November. But as Sally Herships reports, even though sales might be picking up, there are still plenty of bargains to be found.
Jim Gillespie is president of Coldwell Banker, the realty company. He's been in the business for 35 years, and he says this is the best time he's ever seen to buy a house for a lot of reasons.
One is interest rates are at an all-time low. You have to go back to the 1940s, World War II, to find interest rates this low. You've got inventory levels that are elevated.
You've got prices that are way down, up to 50% in areas like Florida, Las Vegas, and Southern California.
And then the real kicker is the incentives.
Homebuyer tax credits for up to $8,500. But even though this seems like a good time to buy, if you're looking, you may still want to wait. Dean Mackey is an economist at Barclays.
There's one more leg down in housing prices still to go. Not a large move down, but about 5 to 10%.
Mackey says there are still a lot of bargain-priced foreclosures out there, but by the middle of 2010, they'll have cleared the market. Then, he says, home prices will begin to rise again. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Well, the 21st century started with record highs on Wall Street, about as many Americans working as possible, interest rates low, home ownership high, even federal budget surpluses. But the first decade of the century ends far humbler than that. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan is with us this morning with a look back. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Steve.
So what do we call this decade?
Well, my boss calls it the decade from hell, but I have a much more elegant name. I call it the awful aughts.
The awful aughts, the zero zeros.
Exactly so.
Economically, how do we characterize this decade?
Well, I believe the technical term would be wretched. We started out with a boom. We've had two market collapses and very large unemployment. But other than that, everything has been great.
What do you think was the most profound event of the decade that affected the nation economically?
Well, I think there were actually two of them. The first one was 9/11,
sure.
Which in addition to all the things we know about unleashed in Washington complete irresponsibility when it came to cutting taxes and fiscal stuff. And the second thing was the end of the tech bubble, which was, you know, very early in this decade. And that got the Federal Reserve to cut interest rate or short-term interest rates to almost nothing, which in many ways helped beget the housing bubble, which, as you know, near the end of the decade popped and has caused a whole lot of the mess that we have.
You sound pessimistic, right? Because the awful aughts will be followed by, what's the next decade, the terrible teens?
or what I think may happen, which might be the terrific teens.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, explain that.
Well, 10 years ago, there was what I thought of as mindless optimism. And when you start from a high level and you think everything is going to be great, you're invariably disappointed. But if you start out at sort of a low ebb, which is what we have, and you don't have many expectations, you're generally surprised on the upside. And I suspect that if you and I are both doing this in 10 years, we might come to call this the terrific teens, and then we could go out drinking and celebrate.
Why don't we regroup in about 10 years and see if that comes to fruition? How about that?
That sounds like a plan.
Happy New Year, Alan Sloan.
And to you, Steve Chiatakis.
The Delaware River is the subject of a big legal battle between the state of Pennsylvania and its neighbors. At issue is a controversial plan to deepen the river to help cargo ships get through. From Philadelphia, Joel Rose reports.
There are some big ships that dock at the port of Philadelphia, like this one. It's delivering containers of fruit from Chile. But the largest ships can't make it here because the Delaware River isn't deep enough. Port officials say that's a big problem for the 45,000 people who make a living off these docks.
We need to deepen the river to be competitive in the international marketplace.
John Esty is the chairman of the Philadelphia Regional Port Authority. He says the Delaware River is only 40 feet deep, while ports in Baltimore and northern New Jersey are getting even deeper to accommodate bigger ships.
Every other East Coast port is either already at least 45 feet or going to 50 feet at the moment. We are the only one that is not.
Congress authorized the deepening more than 15 years ago. If Pennsylvania were the only state involved, it probably would have happened by now. But the river also passes through New Jersey and Delaware. Environmentalist Maya Van Rossum says the project would stir up harmful chemicals trapped in the muck at the bottom of the river.
It's not just reintroduction of toxins into the food chain and into communities, which most certainly will result from a deepened channel, but it's also threats and harms to aquatic species.
Last year, Delaware officials refused to grant a permit for the project. Then the Army Corps of Engineers decided it didn't need permission and announced plans to start deepening the river anyway. For now, the issue is tied up in federal court. Bo Biden is Delaware's attorney general.
The Army Corps of Engineers has decided to ignore the laws of the state. They need to follow Delaware's law before they begin to dredge waters in the state of Delaware.
But supporters of deepening the river say Delaware is just dragging its feet. If the project doesn't get underway soon, Philadelphia Port Chairman John Esty warns that international shippers will take their business elsewhere.
It's going to say to the world, we're not interested in doing the things that are necessary to bring you here, to be welcoming to you.
A judge is expected to rule soon on Delaware's objection. If the Army Corps of Engineers gets the green light, deepening the Delaware River could begin next month. If it doesn't, there's no telling when or if the project will happen. In Philadelphia, I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
iTunes may soon be offering a television subscription. The Wall Street Journal reports Apple is in talks to offer programming from CBS and the Walt Disney Company, owner of ABC and other networks. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports on the latest in the internet TV race.
Normally, you'd flip on your flat screen for this kind of show.
The winner of Survivor Samoa, Natalie.
But Apple wants you to turn on your computer screen. for Survivor, and more. The Journal reports the company is in talks with CBS and Disney to offer programs on iTunes for about $30 a month. James McQuivy of Forrester Research says that's too much.
Unless they're going to be able to wrap in a tremendous amount of, say, movie content, and that's one of the reasons why you work closely with Disney, then maybe if you can wrap in some TV content, make it all convenient, $30 a month might be realistic.
McQuivy says Apple's other big selling point, it could offer its content on the iPhone and other handheld devices. He says the company has to offer more video to stay competitive. Last week, Comcast began offering online packages for its cable subscribers. Verizon, Time Warner, and Hulu also have subscription services in the works. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
So, question. How do you divide the winnings when two people are playing a slot machine? A French court ruled that a woman who made the original bet gets 80%. Her gambling partner, who pulled the lever on the slot, will get the rest. The judges say there's no judicial definition of the winner in a slot machine game, but in this case, it was a team effort. Hey, check us out online at marketplace.org. Share your thoughts with us there. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.